What's so great about? What's so great about?
To What's So Great About the Podcast, it's brave enough to ask the tough questions and really find out what makes a particular topic. So, my name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, and you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Now, I want to say something to you. This has been something that's been weighing on me a while now, Andy, right?
Yep.
There's an air of quiet death in this podcast studio, and I do not like the way it smells.
What are you implying? Look, I haven't showered, all right?
That's, of course, a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we're covering the eighth film in the filmography of director Paul Thomas Anderson. We're talking about Phantom Thread today, but before we get into that, we've got another guest with us, Andy.
Great.
We've got a returning.
Sounds so terrible. Great.
We've got a returning comedy legend in the making, I would say. Yeah. One of the busiest men working the Irish comedy scene these days, with the one and only Peter McGann.
Hello. How are you getting on?
Welcome.
You're welcome back, Pete. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
For the first time in person as well.
Yeah. Any other time I've sent an emissary.
I'm very impressed that you're even. Actually, to be honest, it couldn't be less conveniently located, this studio.
Yeah. No. No. Yes.
You're telling me. I make this trek every week.
It's so, I mean, it's very convenient for me. I just have to waddle from my desk to here. And that's it. And even at that, I don't make it sometimes. But yes, anyway, good to be back. We were 2 weeks off because they wouldn't let us use it when the office was closed.
And we don't want to go back to Zoom.
I mean, my family own the bloody studio. You would think they would let me.
They would trust you.
Well, yeah, exactly.
How was your 2 weeks off? So, to be honest, it's unheard of in this day and age for a company to company-wide bake. You're forced to take 2 weeks off.
I know, yeah. So we closed for 2 weeks, and
so that's mandatory holidays.
Mandatory,
yeah.
But I mean, never seems like it. Seems like a good thing.
Is when it happens. You don't get to pick and choose, though.
You get a spring week as well.
This looks school.
Going to Legoland next month. But yeah, it was good. It's pretty full on.
Yeah.
I won't lie. I mean, like, I love my family.
You missed your routine?
I missed my routine big time, and I didn't realise how much I liked my routine. And it was lovely. I went horseback riding with my daughter, and it was lovely. She gave a 10 out of 10. The horse they gave me, like, everyone's gone through their names, and the horse they gave me was called Chubby. Chubby, right? And then when I'm on the thing, it's like, I really felt, it was the first time I really felt like, this horse is lugging me across. There's a little trek around, like, the area, whatever. And I seen a picture, my sister took a picture of me on the horse, and that was a real, like, you know where you have these, like, moments where you're like, all right, I need to do something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was one of them. I seen me on the horse, and I was just like, that's a low. I really need to get it. And then, luckily, you then started going on runs and posting, and I was like, yeah, I'm going on a run as well. But
my wife showed me a picture in 2021, July 2021, and it was like, she's like, look how thin you are. I'm like, what are you trying to say? Like, but like that run I went on, the couple that I've been on, is like the first in like 9 months. I had a child in December. I was playing football every week before that, but I tore my ankle ligament like 2 weeks before the baby was. I thought I'd broken my ankle. I thought I was going to be bloody murdered by my wife. We said, well, we have a baby and you're out going for a run and fucking my foot was purple. I haven't exercised in about 10 months just because I haven't had the brain space. And you miss it. You miss it.
You miss it. You're quite a big fitness guy.
No. Look at me.
I assume from the sketches, like, okay, well, he goes to the gym at least with that, your man.
Has he ever been in a gym, though? No, he hasn't.
You've got the clothes, anyway.
He's been in my house. Yeah, I've got the clothes. You just look at me like, I'm
not, like, pretty good.
But would you run? Would you have any interest in running?
I used to run.
I found that, I mean, I still harp on about it, but like when COVID started, I ran 12K without stopping. And now I'm like, I swear to God, I was going to call it quits after like 2K, and I'd stopped like 7 times. Like, it's really the stark, the difference. Like,
I mean, when we set up a group during COVID, it was like, post your Strava time or whatever, and then it'd be like, right, fuck God, that prick beat me. Like, or,
yes, you know, exactly.
Like, and it'd be like slagging each other or whatever. But also, like, everybody'd be like, well done on that run.
Yeah.
But here's my time. And you're like, well, fucker, okay.
I have to say, the difference of like, I got into the 5K there last week, and then because I was running around like the duck pond in Arklow, and then I just went up by the, you could see the sea and all that. And I was like, oh, it's lovely. Like, and then all the messages coming in, like, yeah, well done, Andy. And I'm like, all right, this is great. Yeah, I love this.
It's good.
I'm gonna keep doing this. Yeah,
it's good to keep you going.
Yeah. So it was good. I haven't done it since. I wasn't gonna do it yesterday. Couldn't be asked.
Do I have to post again before you're gonna go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone's gonna have to do it. But yeah, apart from that, 2 weeks were great, but I'm happy to be back.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Is that all right to say?
That is all right to great. Say. What about you, Pete? Been up to anything?
These 2 weeks?
Yeah, just in general.
In
like,
general.
What are you up to? Seen it in good?
Last couple of years I've been, I moved to Dublin in 2000.
Yeah, you're from Wicklow, right? I've actually just moved to Wicklow this year.
Like, where in Wicklow do you live?
I live in Rathdrum.
I'm from Rathdrum and I went to school in Arklow.
Where's Rathdrum?
Just outside, it's Ballinacarrig. It's out towards Avoca.
Right, basically, okay,
but it's like just outside that.
I'm on like Brewery Lane, so like you're literally.
What?
New build. I'm fucking Jackie moving into there goes the neighborhood. Like,
yeah.
No. I love it. I love it out there, man. Like, I get the train out every day. Like,
holy jeez, what the hell? That's mental.
That is mad.
Just a couple of Wicklowmen.
Yeah. Wicklowmen.
I mean, let's be honest. I've like lived in
6 months.
Not even there 6 months, but like I've lived in Dublin, a stone's throw from town, my whole life.
So, yeah.
Like, I'm not claiming to be a Wicklowman, but when I filled out my form and I put my address in Wicklow, it felt right.
Yeah, it does feel right. Yeah.
I've come home.
I have to say, I can just, it's like, particularly if I'm ever driving on the M50 and like you just see the mountains, like if you're driving southbound and I'm just like, oh yeah, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Like I'm leaving all this behind me. That's where I'm going.
Yes.
This concrete jungle, huh?
And it's one of the nicest motorways if we're gonna talk about it.
Oh, beautiful.
The M11.
It's great content.
Just do this. Yeah, anyway, sorry, I don't know what we were talking about.
I was going to say, have you seen it in good or been watching?
I've been watching a good few films lately. The best film now, the only cinema I've seen in the cinema has been Barbie. I have to go
like
Oppenheimer.
It?
I really liked it, yeah. It's laughed me. Little hoop off.
I'm trying to see it and I haven't got to see Oppenheimer yet either. It's on the, trying to fit it in.
And you want to see it in the cinema, like,
yeah,
the
you
want to
see it in the cinema, yeah. Where it's supposed to be. You want to get the fucking head blown off you, like. You
know? I actually went to the movies.
What'd you go see?
Elemental.
Any use?
It was okay.
Yeah,
it was like it was. I mean, Johnny loved it, so I like it then because she likes it. But I feel like Pixar
is really falling off.
Pixar is like it's the usual Pixar in the last few years, and that like great message, good movie. That's kind of what I would class it.
I remember,
she loved it though. But so.
that run of Pixar where it was like Ratatouille, incredible. You're like they literally like couldn't go wrong. You're like, this is the best studio in Hollywood at the moment, and now it's kind of.
Then Sony Animation took over. Eh?
Name me 5 Sony Animation movies.
The Spider-Man one.
Don't help
Spider-Man
them, no.
Yeah,
I only watched the new one actually the other day. It's good.
Is that the Spider-Verse one? So that's
yeah.
two
the two,
two of the best Spider-Men ever made.
Right, go on, give me another one.
Mitchell's versus Machines.
Is that Sony Animation?
Yeah, you better believe it.
Alright, that was good.
That was great.
Got two more.
I mean, it's all kids shit. I don't know. Minions? No, that's Illumination. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It's fallen on its arse. All right. But can we just talk about this movie?
No, I'll tell you what I've been watching.
Go on then.
I've caught up with, I think it's possibly, it's one of, if not the best comedy shows out there at the moment.
Big talk.
Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen any of that?
Yeah.
No. I was talking about this with somebody. I think Danny McBride may be the funniest person in the last 20 years.
I think he is.
I think he is hilarious.
I do think he's very funny. I don't know who I would put above him, really.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's like, maybe Hader, maybe Bill Hader.
Yeah.
You know, like
I think
close.
McBride hasn't pipped now.
Yeah, just. I binged all of 2 and then like 3 had just started and I followed that week to week. It's just so fucking good. And like the fact that he's teamed up with like Walton Goggins these days. Walton Goggins,
you're a big Goggins
fan. Oh
head,
man, like I could listen to him.
I got for Goggins.
I could listen to him talk. Like anytime there's just a clip of him where he's like, "You're either a dog boy or a cat boy. What are you gonna be?" And like the little kid goes out, like, "Oh, he a cat boy." Hey. Like, I could listen to him like just say that on repeat.
His drawl.
Yeah, like yeah, he's yeah. so and like. In the third season, he's trying to do like a game show. He's like, his character is Uncle Baby Billy, and it's like his game show. It's basically Family Fortunes.
Yeah.
But it's Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers. Like, it's just an excuse for him to say that every episode multiple times. Now, you know we're going to do Bible Bonkers.
What's it on? What's this show?
It's on Now TV. It's on Sky or whatever. It's Sky Comedy. But it's all about, they're all like preachers. So it's all about like John Goodman is the dad.
Oh, John Goodman's in it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
class.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, if his three shows that he's had, Eastbound and Down, which was fucking class as well, and Vice Principals, which is really, really good, and they're all HBO shows. Like,
I kind of got a bit tired of Eastbound and Down.
Did you?
Yeah, I kind of just thought, like,
that's one, like, if I started back on that, I'd be like, I didn't appreciate this enough the first time around.
Yeah. Is it one of them, is it?
Yeah, I think so, like...
How many seasons did it run?
I think it had four.
Yeah.
It was and stayed funny, like, the whole...
Oh, yeah. And because they mix it up, like, it's they dark, change. Each It's very dark, and each season is a different world, almost, that he's in.
Yeah, like, one's in Mexico, and then one is, like...
The suburbs, where or when he's working for, like, a...
He's a fucking... Pundit. A pundit, yeah.
Oh, class. Yeah. That's one because I'm always looking for comedies, like, but I just feel like... I mean, like, you recommend them to me. See, this is the problem, is that when you recommend them to me, I'm like, I'm not going to like it then. Yeah, because he recommends so much, it's like, it's been oversaturated now. I'm like, nah. There's been so many movies that you've recommended that, like, just weren't for me. And then, so then...
Because in our early stage of our friendship, I recommended you all the classics that you hadn't seen.
Too many, though.
No, but like, and you were like, oh, that's all. And then it's like, now try this
one. Gave you
one.
A taste for it. Like, yeah. I got this motherfucker now.
No, I'm like, if you liked that Scorsese, why don't you try this guy who's riffing on Scorsese? Yeah. Like, fucking hated it, man.
He's a Taiwanese director who is very much married.
I tell you, I've been doing my Korean rewatch, Park Chan Wook
show off
miniseries. Fucking hell. Rewatched Old Boy there the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Fucking
hell. I haven't seen it in. Since you recommended it to me,
still as good. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it in years. I've seen it. I've seen it, but I haven't seen it since like
when it came out.
People watched Old Boy.
Yeah, 2003 was when it came out. So about like 2005, when everybody had it on DVD. It was like, if you showed up to somebody's house, like, what's this? You haven't seen Old Boy?
Yeah,
oh, man, we're firing up the DVD player.
I find I've no concept of like how long ago, like. 2010, 2011 seems so recent, but like I don't even think there was like iPhones then, was there?
There would have been.
Was there?
Yeah, there would have, but I think 2008.
That's when the iPhone came out, was it?
I think so. I'm trying to think.
I'm just thinking, because like I'm watching shows, like I was watching like Always Sunny the other day, and I was like,
they had those Blackberries, right?
The Blackberries, or like there's a scene, you know, there's a scene where like, you know, where she's like hitting herself to pretend like that they attacked her or something like this. And like, and I was thinking, like, can't I just get your phone? And I was like, oh no, like they don't have them. But like, everything else looks just like modern day. You know what I mean?
They had them. I just don't think it was like everybody had them. You know what I mean? Like you, if you were a fucking high end person, you had an iPhone.
I think
it was 2008 because like that Blackberry movie.
It's set then.
The end of the movie is like Steve Jobs announcing the iPhone, and they go into like a fucking spiral. They're like, they're like pitching it to the telephone companies, and they're like, this is all you have? Like, this guy's got a fucking iPhone. What have you got? Like, another Blackberry? Like,
it's mad back then. Like, I think people just liked the click of the Blackberry. Like,
that's the whole marketing click, was. It was like, you got a keyboard in your hand. And then they're like, well, this guy, you can just touch it. It's like, nobody wants to do that. They want the keyboard.
Yeah.
It's like,
Well. Anything else you've seen?
Watching Justified, new Justified back, City Primeval. Have you watched any Justified?
No, I actually got on the Kindle there, one of the books that was
really the Amor Leonard ones.
But I've never seen the show. I watched the first episode, but I can't really remember.
First episode is one of the great like pilot episodes. Like fucking the first 10 minutes of the show is like real. To quote your pal, it'd be like a modern day western from outlaw films. Like the whole thing is he walks up to this gun thug and he's like, I'm gonna give you, I told you 24 hours to get out of town, and he starts counting down from 20, and it's your man from fucking, what you call it, the mask,
Dorian,
yeah, from the mask.
There's always time.
Yeah. And like he basically counts down from 20s, and your man pulls on him, but he's a quicker draw, so he shoots him.
It's a good intro.
It's fucking it. Brilliant.
And I'm normally big into Timothy Oliphant and anything he does, but
this being back after I think it's 2016 the show finished up. So what, like you're talking 8 years.
8 years, yeah.
And it has it's not the same, or seven, yes. Yeah. It's not the same, but it's still really fucking good. Like I was worried that like, oh, it's gonna come back and it's gonna be shite.
Yeah.
But it's weekly viewing for me.
It's just got that, like I've said before, it's got that like Sky One at 3 PM sort
it's
of feel.
Yeah.
Of the show.
It's not fucking,
you know,
Relic
Hunter.
It's not Hercules.
You know, like it's on all the Xena Warrior Princess.
It's not.
This is the style.
It's on Disney. We have Disney Plus.
Yeah, I actually cancelled my Disney Plus.
Did you?
I never watch it. Yeah. I think it's actually better than like Prime, which I still have.
Did you use my Prime?
No, I haven't used your Prime in years.
Oh, well, I'll take you off then.
Yeah, you can take me off.
Grand.
What a moment.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, what does Joni watch then if you get rid of the Disney?
Netflix, YouTube.
YouTube.
You know what kids are like.
Fucking kids. Now, YouTube.
Yeah. They only know what you show them.
Yeah. So, essentially, that's exactly what I watch.
Yeah. Many times I'll talk to Andy and I'll be like, so, did you watch the movie? Here's a fucking prime example of, like, when we're doing Magnolia. He's sitting in his car at 7 o'clock in the morning watching it on a laptop. And I'm like, why didn't you watch it? You thought we were going to start it on Thursday. He's like, watching fucking YouTube
first
tutorials.
First of all, you don't know what I was watching.
What
were
we watching?
Spare time. I can't remember. But
you told
the problem is that it's the movies are too long. Okay, first of all.
No.
And it's every week. There's a new...
I offered you the break in between and you said no, let's go fucking foot down. Like
I just find them very hard to fit in. I'm only finished editing the pod, putting out the clips. I have a weekend, it's like we're recording again on Tuesday, better get this watched, and then I'm always putting it off. I'll watch it on the Monday night. It's always too long to finish, so I gotta squeeze it in the day of.
Right.
It's the prime way to watch a movie, really.
Right, well, we get into it then,
please.
Yeah, okay.
You can sew almost anything into the canvas of a coat. When I was a boy, I started to hide things in the linings of the garments. Things that only I knew were there. Secrets.
Good morning.
Will you have dinner with me?
Yes.
I feel as if I've been looking for you for a very long time. You look beautiful. Very beautiful. I have things I want to do. Things I simply cannot do without you.
Reynolds has made my dreams come true, and I have given him what he desires most in return. Every piece of me. Why are you not married?
Her arrival has cast a very long shadow.
She's barely looked at you this evening, has she?
May I warn you of something? My brother can feel cursed, that love is doomed for him.
I don't like the fabric.
Maybe one day you'll change your taste.
Maybe I like my own taste.
Just enough to get you into trouble.
Perhaps I'm looking for trouble.
Stop! There is an air of quiet death in this house.
You're not cursed, you're loved by me. Stop playing this game.
What game? What precisely is the nature of my game?
All your rules and your clothes and all this money and everything is a game.
This was an ambush.
Stop.
Are you sent here to ruin my evening and possibly my entire life?
Stop it!
That was the trailer for 2017's Phantom Thread, written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. Lads, just care for a bit of boyf? Now, Pete, I don't know if you remember box office and fun facts.
Oh, yes, I do.
But we've changed it because apparently my facts weren't fun enough, but they were interesting. So it's
boyf.
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 It's funnier sounding word, really.
It is.
We all agree.
Andy, care to take a stab at the budget?
30 million.
Pete?
12 million.
35.
Oh, yeah. If you're within 12 five, you got it.
Young. Yes. Young. 12 is much too young.
Oh, God.
Well, you're right.
13, fine.
You're certainly right.
Okay, yeah.
Domestic
total.
I don't have the opening because he rolled it out very slowly.
27 million.
Okay.
What do you think?
19 million.
21 million.
Okay, Pete gets that.
Yeah, you don't get it?
All right, yeah. Pete gets that.
One apiece. Worldwide total.
What was the domestic?
21.
22?
1 million overseas.
I don't know, 38.
Okay.
38.5. No. Say 43.
47.
Hey. It's the first time I've been beat.
Yeah. Okay, Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, they'll certified, fucking love
certified
it.
Fresh.
Would you not call them tomatoes now?
Oh, a garage.
Rotten Tomatoes, then.
There you
doesn't,
go.
Doesn't have the same ring to it. 90, they're going to love it. Audience or critic score?
Critics.
98%.
I mean, yeah. 99. I'm going to say 99.
91.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take one. That.
I don't
you
want
to. I mean, you really had a narrow window where you could have beaten me there.
Audience score?
78.
87.
71.
Oh, jeez, yeah. I would have thought.
Okay. I would have thought that it would be a bit less, if that. Yeah.
6 Academy Award nominations. Care to take a stab?
Actor?
Yes.
Sporting actor?
No.
And I'm saying actor, not actress.
Who's the supporting actor in this movie?
The woman.
That'd so be actress.
Isn't don't they just say actor now?
No.
For all?
No.
I thought it was being mad progressive. Just saying actor. Really?
Yeah. It's still male and female categories. Supporting actress, yes.
Okay, also.
But not who you think.
Oh, your one.
The sister.
Cyril.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, she's great name.
Great Cyril. Name.
Costume.
Costume, yes. That was the only Academy Award it won.
Wow. Score?
Yeah.
On a roll.
If you get one wrong, I'll pass it over.
I got nothing else left. Pete, I'm passing it to you.
Did editing get a shout?
No.
Fuck.
You're forgetting the big
screenplay?
One.
Oh, no. Sorry, picture. No. Was it picture?
Yeah, picture was nominated, but the other big one.
Oh. Director.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's true, picture is the bigger one than director, though, isn't it?
Yeah, picture is the big one, yeah. But like, director is also.
For him, yeah.
He's never won it. He's lost it. 1, 2.
What did he lose?
Lost it for There Will Be Blood.
Mean.
Yeah. No Country for Old Men, which is the big one.
Hmm.
He lost like best original screenplay like 5 times. The only Oscars his films have won have been like technical.
Adjacent
yeah.
to him.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So lost best picture to Shape of Water. Lost best director to Guillermo del Toro. Lost best actor to Gary Oldman. In Darkest Hour, which he's playing Churchill.
So he's going to win that. That's an Oscar
if
role.
If you look at it now, it's like, bah, 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 and it's like big fake face on him. And then like, I was looking at Daniel Day-Lewis, like sitting in the car, like just unable to move. He's so exhausted. I'm like,
yeah.
How do you beat, like,
yeah.
How does one beat the other? The most yeah. acting always wins.
Yeah. Same. That's
and I'll
true,
say
isn't
now,
it?
Joe, if you're listening, Joker, like Joaquin Phoenix.
You loved that, didn't you? You were a big fan of that decision.
That's he had like 5 other performances. Like he should have won for Johnny Cash ahead of playing Joker. Like or
where do you stand on Joker? I'm curious.
On his neck. I don't know. I saw it once in cinema. I thought the big mad climactic thing that happens on telly, I thought was incredible. I thought that was, but I think I didn't necessarily love the rest of it.
You wouldn't go back. You wouldn't be clamoring to watch it again or anything like that.
Weirdly, recently I was because I want to see. It's the big scene in the TV studio. Like I just that's I want to experience that again.
That scene,
but the rest of it around it, I'm
a lot of work to get there.
Yeah,
like, it really is, and like it's got a bunch of great supporting cast.
Yeah,
that, and I'm like,
is that Christopher Nolan?
No, it's Todd Phillips of
Road Trip.
Yeah. Well,
why didn't you start with that?
Old school.
Bury the lead.
Old school would have been my one to go with there.
Two classics.
Yeah. Some interesting facts.
Please.
PTA has stated that the idea of doing a gothic romance had interested him for some time, and that the inspiration for the story came when he was laid up in bed sick one day and his wife, Maya Rudolph, was tending to him. He says she hadn't looked at him in such a tender way in many, many years.
Is this a gothic romance?
Kind of, like...
1950?
Yeah. It's just not like a gothic horror romance, but like,
yeah, okay,
there's lots of like smoke and, you know, yeah, it's this kind of weird,
oh, okay,
twisty relationship between the two of them. And basically he said that that in turn kind of springboarded into a story about how there's this man who can only let people in when he's on his deathbed.
Mm.
He won't let the walls down otherwise. It was Daniel Day-Lewis who came up with the name Reynolds Woodcock. He was making a penis joke. Before that, PTA had the placeholder name
of course of, PTA loved it.
Yeah, of course he did. He had the placeholder name of Arthur Dapper Jr. in mind, which I think,
I mean, that's a good name.
Yeah. Dapper, though.
I'll have that.
My introducing my new character.
Yeah.
Vicky Creeps thought she was auditioning for a student film after misreading an email that her agent had sent her. And it was only after the audition tape had been sent that she realized that it was for a Paul Thomas Anderson film. When she went to her callback, she was completely unaware that she was going to be auditioning opposite Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
imagine that. Like,
so you think like that's why she got the callback, was because she was less pressured?
He had also seen some movie that she had been in, some like Italian.
I've seen
film.
Her before. In
She's in Old. That's what you've seen her in. She's the mam who goes to the beach and gets old.
Wow, that seems so beneath her now after watching this.
Exactly. Like, but also, it's kind of like, you've had your big crossover break. Yeah. Now go collect your bag. Like, yeah. Go get your money. You know?
Get your fucking shine box.
Go get your $1 million to go be in an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
And you'll never be taken seriously.
You'll never work in this town again.
PTA served as his own cinematographer on this movie for the first time. It's a process that is usually unheard of. And finding the style he wanted, experimenting, testing, all that, was a process that started about 9 months before principal photography started. Who has that time?
But when he becomes the cinematographer, like, what does that mean?
So it's basically like when he's directing, he has a guy that will line up the shots for him. He'll tell him what he wants, and the guy. And in this case, he's lining up the shots with two other guys.
So he's leading it. He's saying, I want this light here, I want that colour here. And
I mean, he's doing that normally anyway, but somebody does that for him. Whereas
he's hands on.
He's doing it, and he's like, okay. He said he worked closer with like two other guys that he had been doing it with. But his regular DP, Roger Elswith, who apparently they've had a falling out because Roger Elswith had done every movie except for The Master when it's scheduling conflicts. So he said on Inherent Vice, they were like hating each other. And he said he criticised how the film looked. He said, if I had been logging it, I wouldn't have been happy with the way it had ended up.
Yeah. Shots fired.
Yeah.
Well, Andy,
I quite
putting me out here, my misery here.
No, I actually liked this one.
I can't get a read on you at all. The one that you were like,
I thought I was like this fucking podcast. That's what I was thinking by the time after
we
done The Master and Hearing Voice. I'm like, what is this? Like, what am I doing? Torturing myself every week. But no, I really loved it. I don't know if it's like my environment when I'm watching it. Like, this one was very much like, I wasn't rushed. It was during the day. I had headphones in, which I didn't realize what a difference that makes to a movie. Like, because previously it would either be on my laptop or like, There Will Be Blood was on Netflix, but the rest were kind of like, I had to download them.
Very hard. No, like, There Will Be Blood and Licorice Pizza are the only two streaming.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I actually bought this on Blu-ray, right? And I'd been out for a lovely day with my family on Sunday, and then me and the wife were going to sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
Popped in the Blu-ray, press play.
Wrong
way. No sound. And I was like, huh? And Faye's like, I think it's not supposed to have sound at the start. I'm like, okay. And then like changing the audio channel. So like French, the sound. English subtitle, English with like captioned subtitles, sound.
Well, there
and you're hearing this glorious score. And then I go back to the English one and it's just blank. And I'm like trying. I'm like, how the fuck do I do this? Oh, you know what? Maybe I'll get it on like, I'm fuming because I went out and bought the Blu-ray. Yeah. And I went, oh, maybe I'll get it on the box or I'll get it, you know, cast or whatever. Couldn't get it. And she, my wife was then like winding me up because I was so annoyed. And I'm just, I'm like trying not to explode. I'm like, when I was watching it last night, I was like, when the dinner scene where he's like, what is this? Why are you? And I'm like, oh, this is me last night. Like, I'm like trying not to like, don't ruin the evening or whatever. Just take deep breaths. And the fucking thing was, because I watch it on my PS4. So it's like Dolby 7.1 is the default. And I changed it to Dolby 5.1. And for whatever reason, it started playing like that. So by the time I figured that out, I was like, I'm fuming. I'm not going to be able to watch this and enjoy it.
But you had the closed captions, didn't you? And the sound.
No, but it's like, she walks over to the window.
Oh, okay.
Like, no.
Well, I'm curious, like, Pete, because like you picked this one. Was this one of your favorite PTA movies?
What's
like,
your relationship with PTA?
Oh, well, I love my, kind of Boogie Nights was a big one in the college. You know, it's a great college watch. Things like that. And I love Magnolia and Inherent Vice, sorry.
That's right.
Their films I would watch, I rewatched a few times. And there's other films like There Will Be Blood. I may have only seen that once in the cinema or like twice. Like,
do yourself a favor. Stick it on because...
But you know what? These films that are hang heavy in your memory.
Yeah.
Like The Master, I've seen twice. Same again. It's like he's always kind of in the back of my head, I suppose. Even if I'm not like going back to his films that often. But this one, I think this is only the second viewing of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think it's my favorite.
I can't believe how this one was like, this could be the one like I've. Apart from Hard 8, all my ratings have been like 9 and above.
9.75.
That's Punch Drunk Love. That was fucking
just
brilliant.
Go 0.5 or full number.
Fine. That's gatekeeping a 0.5, right?
Okay.
Because in between Magnolia and There Will Be Blood. But like, I went to see this in the cinema and I really enjoyed it, but it was kind of like, I don't know, it was like, I went to see it on my birthday, funnily enough, as well. But I was like,
Solo?
No, with Faye. Back when we had time to go and do things on a Tuesday afternoon or whatever.
The idea.
But it was like, I liked it, but it wasn't...
Did she like it?
She loved it. And she was like, oh, I can't wait to watch it with you again.
Oh.
But it was kind of, I don't know, in my mind I was like, that's going to be the one that I think may drop below 9. And like...
I
watched it last night and I was like... 10 minutes in, I was like, oh, this is fucking brilliant. Like, you're listening to that, like, Johnny Greenwood score.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and you're just like, just had a big smile. I felt like I was slipping into a bath when I was listening to that score. And just him, like, brushing his hair with his fucking horse comb things or whatever.
And, you know, I particularly quite like the cinematography in this. You know what I mean? And I liked it in all the movies, really. But I had thought, like, a few minutes into this, I'm like, oh, I think I'm actually digging this one. You know? It was very, so what I didn't understand was like, until I'd watched the whole thing, I was like, I'm enjoying it, but I'm like, why is this his big, like, he came back from retirement to do this, or did he say after?
Oh, no, after he
retired. This is his last one. So like he'd done Lincoln and he'd done 9 in between There Will Be Blood and this. I don't think he'd done anything else. Like, he'd won the Oscar for Lincoln.
Yeah.
It was a slam dunk.
Set
and song. But he's fucking brilliant in it as well.
I haven't actually seen it.
It's really good. Like, because because what's really interesting about it for me is that it's not about Lincoln free the slaves. You know, this. It's about this fucking shitty politician that like, I need these votes. To this town and convince these people to vote for me so I can pass this Emancipation Proclamation. Like,
it's a bit like There Will Be Blood.
Kind of a little, but like, but it's also like, you know, Spielberg doing his I don't want to say schmaltzy, but he has his sheen that he puts on it.
Yeah, as opposed you can tell a Spielberg movie.
Yeah,
like,
but
from watching
it's still fucking like that's.
Yeah,
Spielberg as he's gotten older has that like little sprinkling of dust.
Yeah,
as opposed to Spielberg, say Jaws or
yeah,
Close Encounters, they're a bit more rough. I don't know if that's the word.
Maybe it's more for the of the time.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, no, this one, like, I was very, very pleasantly surprised. There was lots of, and I have to say, if we can talk about the ending, or do you want to?
Well, let's get there. But like,
all right, one and all my time. All like, my time.
I think this is such a kind of, it's almost like a vibes movie. As well,
yeah,
that, like, it's not a huge plot. You know, it's, again, not a lot of his movies are plotty.
And that's normally why I don't like them. Like, yeah,
It's a very straightforward, this guy's a bit of a fucking baby, you know, like, he's this tortured artist. And, like, what I found very interesting was, it's a great depiction of, say, we've all, the three of us here, to varying degrees of success, have all put time in to create content. I hate that word. But, like, I remember, like, I was writing a
screen. Wicklow content creators. Jesus.
But I remember, like, trying to write a screenplay.
Yeah.
And, like, the amount of time you have to put in to be selfish and to be, like, almost shut off and be like, I can't give myself to you. I have to go up into this room and lock myself away to be.
Mm.
And I was like, the portrayal of the artist that, like,
yeah,
he is so closed off because he's focused on
drawing
this, and, like, somebody eating breakfast, or, like, questioning him at breakfast. He's like,
I really related to I really related to him saying, or, like, the whole thing of, like, don't set him off in the morning because you'll have a bad day. I find it very hard to get back on track if I've had an argument first thing in the morning or something like that.
I love what was the term he said when it was his first missus was there. He's like, it's like, I can't have a confrontation first thing in the morning.
Time to have a confrontation.
I don't know. In that sense, like, you know what? You have to say, hold on, I'm just going to, like, shut off this part for a little bit and focus on this other thing. And it is a very selfish thing to do, but I thought it was a fantastic portrayal of it. Because sometimes when you see a movie trying to do that, it's really, like, over the top or melodramatic.
Yeah.
And this is, like, the mundanity of, like, him just, like, not looking up from a piece of paper and somebody trying to get his attention.
Yeah.
And he's just not...
He's in the
He's locked into this other thing, and his, like, minder is there being like, don't disturb him.
Can I ask, on a slight side note, if you're making a video, like, recording it at home or whatever like that, like, can you have someone in the room?
No.
Can you have someone within earshot?
Yeah.
Like, so your wife could be, like, in the next room. That's fine.
Earshot, not the same room.
Yeah, because I always wonder about that. Like, because sometimes, like, if I was out with Tony or something and he'd just whip out the phone and do something, and I'm like, God, I would need, like, an hour of having no one around before I'd even muster up the courage out the phone. Like,
you know. Go.
I was always curious about that. I'm like how other people sort of, what the process is.
I was actually trying to film something very much in public today, and I was like, no, I just left it. So I was like, I just wasn't feeling the
But
the
do you
eyes.
Find, like, would you plan, because, like, some of the stuff, it literally feels like, and they're unbelievably good, but I'm like, it has the impression of, like, it's so spontaneous, like, you've just thought of it.
Yeah, sometimes that's it. Depends. It really depends.
Do you find the ones that you prefer are the ones that you whip out? Or
I prefer the ones I put the work into. Everyone was like, well, fucking whatever. Nailed it, yeah. And I resent the ones that
takes off. It's like, I spent 20 seconds on that.
Yeah.
I was always curious about that. But yeah, the whole morning thing was with, I think it was after that, I was kind of like, I can get into this guy.
He's my kind of guy. But, like, you know, talking about the cinematography, like, even when he's, like, driving the car out to the country.
Oh my God, I
was like
that.
The first time I watched it, I was like, why does that seem so, like, alien to me? Yeah. And, like, this time around, I was like, oh, it's such an interesting use. It's kind of very Kubrick, almost, like, Clockwork Orange.
Exactly.
Like, where you're like, why is he making that choice? Like, what am I feeling? Am I feeling uneasy or whatever?
It's
like
because
that?
He's,
like,
gone so fast down
there. Yeah, but there's also, long you feel the rig is like in front of the car.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and I love the scene where he meets her.
Yeah.
I thought
she was brilliant.
She's
well.
So good.
I don't know if I would have enjoyed it as much Well, if either of them hadn't been in it, but I think like she was a huge, the main part almost of why I enjoyed it. I thought she was brilliant.
What I loved about her as a character and the portrayal is that, like, first of all, like, she's 100% authentic.
Yeah. Mm.
And her not being demure to him, even from the start where he's like, I love that scene where he's ordering the breakfast and he's like, will you remember?
Yeah.
Because he's so soft-spoken. Mm. And he's like, I'm going to keep this. Yeah. She brings it out, and then she gives him the note for my hungry boy.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm like, yeah. Oh. Like, first of all, he has game. Like by doing the note and keeping it, and then like her to do that power play back.
Yeah,
you're like, I think of Colin Farrell in Bruges when your one drops the card.
Yeah,
and he's like, how fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That's what I was thinking when she gave him the card there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. The thing I kind of found was it was so. Just up and down, like
the dynamics, like,
yeah, like every 15-20 minutes of like, oh, now she's on top, or you know, like you know,
that scene where he brings her out for the walk and then they go back to the place and he's like, let me murder you.
Yeah.
And she's having such a great time. Yeah. Being, and then the sister, and then she comes, walks in
and the mood totally changes.
So yeah. And yeah. He's like, keep standing normally, and then he's like, I said normal.
Yeah.
And she's like, you mean straight?
Yeah.
He's like, yes. Yeah, he's like, yeah. Well, then say straight. And I was like, oh, like, she's kind of pushing back.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he's gone all cold on her. He's like, you have no breasts.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he's like, but I can give you them if I choose to.
Yeah, if I choose to. Like, it's like, yeah. I don't know. The dynamic kept, like, that's what kept it interesting for me, was that the dynamic between the two of them just kept shifting.
And like, know? He says that at the end, he's like, she's cast like a long shadow on the house. Like, yeah, everything's off kilter. And it is.
Yeah,
but like, I don't know. It's a very funny film as well. I found like this time, like, laugh out loud times where they're at dinner. The four of them are at dinner, and somebody comes up. The two girls come up and ask, "Can they be buried in his dress?" She says something, and then she's like, "Are you hungry?" And then the next scene is like, in the cars. I was like, I never know. It's like that smash cut to like him, then he's bringing her up the stairs to like ride her or whatever. Like, I was like, the smash cut to like just him like pelting it in the car. Like,
yeah, I think it is the food and sex thing. Yeah. It just kept coming up in the whole film. Obviously, then where it goes with the mushrooms, all that is.
I'm like, you're one. Like, there's so many great. Like, I think the sister, Cyril, is amazing. Mm. The scene where, because they're normally on like such nice terms,
yeah,
and then she's don't be cross at me, like,
yeah,
like, I will run through you. But without even looking at him, she's just like still drinking her tea or whatever. Like,
and that's from your one Alma, like,
yeah,
like her influence, I guess, is like, because I didn't see anyone really talking to him like that until she
I kind of got the impression
that's why she liked her so much.
No, I kind of got the impression that she kind of always
had
the upper hand on the brother, but like, he's taking out his bad mood on her, which he never used to do.
He can't take it out
on Alma. And then then your one was like, don't fucking
don't
fucking start with me.
And then your one from Frasier,
what's her name in this, Betty Lou or something,
Frasier,
Barbara Ann or something, Barbara Rose.
who But she's the drunk American one. You know, she's Frasier's agent, BB. Frasier, darling. And in this, like, she's like Marian the drunk one.
Oh.
Harriet Gigolo Sampson Harris.
Is she one from Seinfeld? Kramer's girlfriend who laughs too much?
No.
No, I think of someone else.
Yabumi?
Yeah.
What was her name? Toby?
Or is she one from Gavin and Stacey?
No, she's in it though. She's the woman at the end. The
bitch.
The aunt of Brian Gleeson, the doctor.
And he is. I didn't realize that he was in this second time around. I picked it up. He's doing his best Fassbender impersonation. Gleeson.
I get that. Yeah. Wait, was that meant to be Fassbender?
No, just being in general. He's like, he's doing the British accent.
Oh yeah, the clip.
Like, he reminds me of like Fassbender in Inglourious Basterds. Yeah. Like, you know. Oh. But he's really good in it, like, as well. Like,
he's got nice like scenes where he's, because he's just playing a very reserved, that classic thing of like, nothing can ruffle me, Irvin. So like, you've got him. What did he say? I believe I told you to fuck off. Yeah. And he's just there. It's like there's nothing fazed him. He's not like his monocle isn't dropping out. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But even like you can see, like he's also like trying to be a little sneaky with.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
you know, Alma. Like,
well, all those upper class Brits are all those bed hopping scum. Yeah.
But not like us chaste
Irish good boys. Devalera, sons of De Valera.
The like how you get to the poison, I thought was really interesting, mm-hmm. because like, you know, she has this status sometimes, and then the other time she's just reduced to like a worker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And like you can see,
basically just works for him. Like,
yeah.
When the princess comes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like back to.
Just that way she goes up to her, she's like, I live here.
Yeah, yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's good.
You can tell she's something, she's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Plus, you know what I never see in movies? Like when she first meets him, when she's the waitress, that her face actually goes red.
Yeah, oh, she fully blushes. It's insane.
I never see that in movies. Like,
because she's not caked with makeup.
Yeah. Like, she looked like a real person.
And even that, like, talk about game where he's like, here, let me wipe. I want to see.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, that's much better. And you're like, yeah, that's a good move. Like, yeah.
I find like the accent isn't a million miles away from Daniel Plainview in There Will Be Blood, but he's far more soft. Like, you can see the two, but like, I just found it mad. Like, the difference. Like, there's a similarity I found in the sort of. I don't mean, obviously it's the same actor, so it's going to be, but like the difference in his voice even in this compared to that. I haven't seen like Lincoln or any of these ones. I don't know how he is in that. Lincoln, but I kind of just found, I was like, there's a real difference to it, like, obviously, but
like Lincoln, it's and I talk, you will get me those votes. As opposed to this
Lincoln's a spooky ghost.
Yeah. Ooh, John Adams. But like, this is very much closer to his own voice, almost. Like,
is it? I don't even know.
He's very soft spoken in real life. Like,
where's he from? I know he's from Ireland.
No, he's from England, but like, what? He like lives in Ireland.
Another Wicklow man.
Yeah,
Wicklow man.
Yeah, another Rat Drum man. Well, he wasn't in Rat Drum, but I saw him
in the centre the other day.
He was in. I used to work in that centre.
Did you?
I did.
How old is that centre? It seems fairly new.
Oh well, it's completely redone. This is very good. It's completely redone in the last few years. Like when I was, it was just a basic old centre.
Yeah.
But now it's like slick hyphen. You know.
We met in the centre.
We became friends in the centre.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that centre?
No, in Marino.
In a different one.
Yeah.
So this is what it's like. And it does cry.
Oh, you both worked at the same time?
We went to school together and did not like each other. This is a movie right here. We did not like each other. And then I started to work in the centre where Andy worked.
I honestly tried to put a stop to it when I seen your name on the roster. Yeah. from sixth year, like Terry Toner, starting on Tuesday. Like, it can't be the same one. Hello.
Why didn't you like each other?
Why didn't we?
Yeah.
Because you know the way in secondary school when like, well, like first of all, like I had long greasy hippie hair anyway. Don't know why that matters,
that
but it bugged them. But
when
because like I'd be in his class, I would, like I'd just finish a class and he'd have French in the same classroom, and I'd always be sitting on the desk that he was looking to get at, and he was just like, get off me desk,
like me sitting there, and like the teacher would be like standing at the top of the class. I'm like. And then you're like, oh, like scarper off. Like, this fucking guy. Like,
Also, the rest is history.
I'm not trying to be funny. Like you and your mates, you were constantly drawing cocks everywhere. And it was only after I left school that I actually found the humor. And at the time, I was like, would you stop fucking drawing cocks everywhere?
All over like the steamed window. Kids.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was too much of a stick in the mud.
There you go. So I was in the right.
No.
Okay, we did that in the bud. Can I talk about the ending?
Yeah. Let's talk about the first poisoning.
No, I want to talk about the second.
Okay.
Well, what I found, I suppose, interesting and what I was confused by was like, okay, the first one, fair enough.
He doesn't know.
The second one, I'm like I was watching it and I was like,
it's the genius of the fucking...
I definitely tilted my head and squinted my eyes. I'm like, so he...
He's calling her bluff, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, when I was like, I had to go read about it afterwards, like, what ending explained Phantom Thread, which I love having to do for movies. But and then I actually rewatched it again, knowing what it was about. But yeah, and then I was like, oh, interesting. Like,
but like, it's so interesting, I think, leading up to that point where he, like, they get married after he's violently sick the first time, and like, he's like, so
yeah.
Oh, you know, this is a new Reynolds. You know, I can't be without you, blah, blah. And then they're on their honeymoon, and it's literally her eating her granola or whatever, and the spoon on the teeth. And he's like, or like, she's doing the, it's like, oh, immediately is kind of like back to where he was. Like, fuck this. I can't live with this annoyance. And then they have the whole New Year's Eve thing. And you see in that, like, when there's a little bit of danger, he runs down to her, but he's still kind of cold and withholding.
Yeah,
and you have the fucking great line reading where they're doing the dress, and then he goes down to the sister, and she's like, "Well, where is your one?" And she's like, "Oh, she's gone to a different company or whatever like that." And he's like, "It hurts my feelings."
Yeah.
The one comes in, she's like, "Mrs. Vaughn is very happy with the dress." Like, nobody gives a tickling cunt what Mrs. Vaughn thinks.
I couldn't give a tinker's fuck.
Yeah, that's it. But like, he's not even looking at her. He's like, "I think as fuck."
He's just that voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm watching a real man when I watch him. Like, you never get that where you think, oh, he's giving a great performance. With that, I'm like, I feel like I'm watching the real man going around doing his business. Like, no one else would, like, with that voice and that, like, he can do genuine rage and irritation. So, I feel like he is fuming with her. And he's obviously channeled something with himself to make it. I'm like, he actually is fuming with her right now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, it's not acting what he's doing, some stuff.
That's thinking, it'd be so easy to sort of go over the top or to be schmaltzy with it, or you know, like, that's sort of like where you just, like, you have that accent and you're that character. Like, it'd be so easy to go over the top with it. But like,
when you talk about DiCaprio, like, you love DiCaprio, and I do too. Mm. But he has a tendency to be like, I'm at 80 miles an hour, I'm just gonna go to like 120 now, and you're like, oh shit, you've gone too far.
I'm not gonna even. Yeah.
Like, where, no, I always think of Django, where he like smashes and he's like, you understand? And you're like, oh, you've slipped into, like, you're supposed to be a southern gentleman, and you've slipped into, like, are you listening now?
Yeah.
Oh, you're.
I'd love to see that. I've only seen Django once. That's
so good.
Yeah. I'd love to see that again.
I watched it at Christmas, and parts of it I was like, brilliant. And then parts of it I'm like, a little bit uncomfortable with how much.
Yeah,
how liberal the spring. Yeah, I know, but like, you know, it's like every really other word. Again. Yeah,
yeah,
is the N word. But like that, like, you never see Day-Lewis, even when he's going big in There Will Be Blood, it's controlled. Mm-hmm. He's,
yeah,
you don't feel like when he's going big in There Will Be Blood, I'm like, that's still Daniel Plainview.
Yeah,
it's not Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Yeah. Like, and in this, like, there's certain, like, when she goes dancing on New Year's Eve. And he's like standing just with his head at the door.
Yeah.
Like, and then like just checking, oh, is she actually in that room?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I was like, again, that's that person. You can see the wheels turning in their head almost.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, you get to the end where he's just staring at her like for so long. And even the way he like uses his fork to slowly take a huge, you can see the huge piece of mushroom in the omelet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, like, so slow.
At that point, I'm like, I'm sick.
And like, that sounded like a real classic film line, you know, like,
yeah.
That
just oh yeah, real romantic.
Yeah. Sick again. Exactly. Well, like, the whole time I'm wondering, like at what point does he realize that he's being like, does he know it's the mushroom? Does he know, like, is it not until after he bites? Does he know it before? You know, I was like,
oh, he definitely knows before he goes in.
Yeah, when I watched it again, I was like, oh yeah.
He's sitting there watching her prepare. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, she has the yellow mushroom or whatever.
Right.
So like,
he knows what that is.
And he's just like sitting there. He's like, she's not going to do it. And then it's like, all right. Like, okay.
Yeah. You want to get nuts?
But like, I love her being like, I want you on your back. You know, you're not going to die. You may wish you were dead.
Yeah.
And like, him being like, oh shit, this is actually what gets me off.
Like. Yeah. Yeah, so the whole thing then was for anyone who hasn't seen it, that it's basically like, this is how their relationship works, that she makes him sick.
Every couple of months, mm-hmm. she poisons him.
But that's what I was wondering, like, is she going to have to redo it every few months? Yeah, yeah. Like, this is what they're going to do? Like,
that's what I kind of took from it.
She's like, going to make him sick every mm-hmm. once in a while.
Once when he gets out of line, he gets too big for his boots.
Yeah,
and pretty much. Yeah, and then,
but even, like, you see the kind of coda of it is, like, you know, they have the kid, and, like, she is, like, taking over the business almost, mm. like, because he's that bit older or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, you can see that she doesn't want to run the business. Because, like, in another film, it would be she pushes the sister out.
Yeah.
And in this film, it's actually, they have a good relationship. Even though for a long time, it doesn't feel like they will.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, oh, I'm actually like quite that. Fond of her. And, like, even that when it's like, aren't you two so polite?
But, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I don't.
In my head, I thought the end of it, I don't know why, but like the image of like was the music swelling and him being like,
Phantom it Thread. Nearly was that. Yeah. It was so nearly was that. Yeah. I was like, they're not going to cut now when he's there on the toilet.
I forgot about the bit where her like holding the pram and stuff like that. Like, me too. I was like, my image was like, that's the end of it. They're in the bathroom and he's like, you should leave now. And then it's like, that's the end of the movie. Mm. It goes for a couple of minutes longer, but like,
I liked that they went with something at the, I mean, I know his endings tend to be a little bit ambiguous.
Yeah.
And that you sort of, it's up to your interpretation, which I normally can't stand. And I like to know exactly what's that mean.
Yes.
But in this one, it's less so, in that like, they just keep going. You know what I mean? Like the end of it is like him fitting her for another dress or whatever.
Yeah,
That was the thing watching this time around. Was like, oh, it's really, because when I went into it first, I didn't know, you know, you don't know what you're getting, and the scenes are so kind of like, you don't know what's going to happen from scene to scene. So, but then when I was surprised how basically just on the surface, like, this is what it is. The story it tells is like very straightforward, and like I'm pretty sure I knew for the most part, like, how people felt about each other and all that.
There's no frogs. No. What do the frogs mean from the sky or whatever? I love all that shit. Don't get me wrong. Like, that, you know, all the different meanings in Magnolia. Or, like, you know, Boogie Nights. Well, you know, this is actually representing the family that Dirk never had or whatever. Like, yeah, I love all that stuff. But also, there is something to be said for, like, it's kind of straight down the middle.
100%.
There's these relationships, and people have said since There Will Be Blood, like, this is his most accessible one.
I seen when I was looking up the ending and what it means, on a side article, it was like the top 10 Paul Thomas Anderson movies that are by watchability, and like Magnolia was like number 10 or 9 or something in terms of like rewatchability, and I was quite surprised by that. I feel like I would watch that. I'd watch that 10 times in a row before I stuck on The Master again. tell you that. But like, number one
your
was
lowest. Is The Master the one you hated the most?
Yeah, I really didn't like it.
Listen to Philip Seymour Hoffman as that character.
Much. It's too much.
All right.
Okay. On a slow boat to China. Yeah.
I want you.
I thought like on the list, number one was Punch Drunk Love, and number two was Licorice Pizza. No, Boogie Nights, and then Licorice Pizza was number three.
And where was
I don't know if you would agree with that. This one was like four or five.
They're all very rewatchable movies, I think. I don't know.
I thought Inherent Vice was very complicated.
It is very complicated.
But I
weirdly kind of, I'm drawn back to that one. I think like things like Josh Brolin and it is so,
he was brilliant. Yeah.
So fucking
he was, and that was one of the funniest roles one of the best and funniest roles I've seen him in.
Yeah.
I thought he was great. But I kind of like, I was just like mentally, like after about an hour, if I'm not getting it, I'm like, I'm just looking at something. You know what I mean? I'm not in there. Yeah. I was in there with this one. Maybe I should have had the headphones on the whole time.
We do the awards. Ed Harris Award for excellence in acting.
Of course.
Yeah. Who's going to give it?
Requires a lot of context. There. basically, we were doing a series where we were watching Nick Cage movies, as you know, and The Rock was one, and we were saying Ed Harris. It was you, actually. You were on that one.
Yeah. And, we gave it to Gary Sinise. Yes. Gary Sinise was the first.
Won the Ed Harris Award for
it. In honor of Ed Harris.
And it was you who actually turned us on to those bloopers. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, I've never seen such intense.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Sorry!
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir!
Oh my God!
Yes, yes, certainly. Like,
yes, sir.
Oh, good time.
It's like, what is your name? And then, like, the way one of the guys delivers it, like, it's funny. Like, it makes him laugh. He's like, "I'm Lieutenant, blah, 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 Captain." He's like, "No, don't do it!" Like, come on, again. You can tell he's annoyed that he laughed. Like, you know? The whole time he was doing it the same.
I'd love to be that.
Oh my God, I love that.
I would too. I'd be so. On age though.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
For excellence in acting, I would give it to what's the
Vicky Creeps.
Yes.
I have to give it to Danny Day because it is like one of the best performances I've ever seen.
I'm gonna go with Leslie Manville.
Oh, true.
I just thought like obviously Danny DeLewis is brilliant, but like something so like controlled, even every time she just like little pullback of her hair or whatever like that, and like there was nothing that would rattle her, and like even before she says about the wedding invite, she like takes a little sip for a thing, and the camera just stays on her face, and she's like trying to like figure out what's the best way to say it, and then she kind of needles him by saying it, and like has a little smirk on her face, like, mm-hmm. and he's like, "I really could have done without that."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Well, I'm very sorry." And kind of walks off real satisfied with herself. I don't know. I just like I looked at she's like great. Who won the supporting actress that year, and it was your one for I, Tonya.
Margot Robbie or no.
The mom Alison Janney.
Yeah,
and, like I love Alison Janney, but like that's so like hammy over the top, and like
I'm doing a sort of or not a sort of you know kind of a different accent in this.
God, you're a fat little girl, or you know, it's like real hammy. Whereas this is like such a controlled, nuanced performance. That was brilliant.
Who was nominated for best actor in the same year that Will Smith won it for?
King Richard.
Oh yeah.
My God.
Did you see that?
The slap. I didn't see the film. I saw the
film. We watched the film. We watched the film for the podcast.
Why?
Like,
what was for the podcast?
Because we were doing
Big Willy's Flops is bad movies of the last 10 years.
And then we said we'd have, because of all the controversy, we'll have to. Andy was like, "He's gonna win it, man. He's gonna win it."
I've never had like, and Tony was the same. Like, such massive Will Smith fans. And as soon as the slap happened, I was like, I want absolutely nothing to do. Because his whole thing is a lie now.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Oh, yes, and to be fair, you were saying it well before, but you know, the whole just like, there's something weird about him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, The Rock kind of has it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, The Rock does. Yeah.
Two like algorithms.
Two walking algorithms.
That's it.
Pleasure to meet you. Yeah.
I still think I'm like, uh-oh. Like when he's like walking up onto the stage. Chris Rock,
it's okay, like, it's here
like,
we go.
It's like etched in my memory. They go, uh oh, like just the shit out of me.
I can't believe off the top of my head,
I can't tell you, but I remember being like, it can't be Will Smith, and yet it was because it was so.
It was, and like, and I was so ready. I'm like, when this movie came out, King Richard, I was like. I was like, great, like this is gonna be finally Big Will's moment, and we watched that, and I was like. It was so hammy. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, I mean,
it's like it wasn't. There was no subtlety. We're talking about subtlety in this one. Like, there was just he's had half a dozen better roles like that he should have won, and this just seemed like a conscious decision of like, we're gonna give it to him.
He's done
like,
the work for this one.
Yeah,
it's a career.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it was one of them. Like,
which so I bad.
But who was in the running with him? Do you know? Is that what you're looking at?
I'm looking it up now.
It's not worth your time anyway.
This phone ever. Agree with me.
Oh, never mind. Forget it. Didn't you just get that phone?
Yeah, I know, but phones don't agree with me in general.
Shit. Well, we'll just
line reading. We'll do it quickly.
What?
Best line reading.
Oh.
The Daniel Plainview line reading on the movie.
I liked the end. I liked the
kiss me.
Yeah.
Before I'm sick.
Kiss me, my dear. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Before I'm sick again.
Kiss me, my girl. Before I'm
my
sick.
My girl. Yeah. I thought that was good. I liked that one.
I'd say the what's it? The do you have a gun? Do
that's
you have
what
a gun?
I was gonna say.
Are you an agent sent to kill me?
Yeah.
That was great.
Is this an ambush?
Is this an
ambush? Yeah.
Show me your gun.
Yeah.
Show me your gun.
Last time I checked, I was in my own house, not on foreign soil. Are you a spy? hilarious argument. The tickling cunt.
Oh, it's tickling cunt, doesn't he?
Tinker's fuck, sorry.
Tickling cunt, I like that.
You're an X-ray.
You would really scandalize Cyril.
Okay, so what are you going to give it as a rating then?
I would give it a 7.5.
Okay. Oh, 7.5 only.
That's good. No. That's a good rating. Your standards of ratings are so insane. If it's below a 9, it's scathing. No. 7.5 is a decent.
These are 5-star movies, man. These
7.5 for me. 7.5 out of 10. I didn't give it like a 2 or something like I wouldn't normally.
Have you given 2s?
No, I gave the lowest was a 5 out of respect.
You've had 8 of 5.
And the master.
I was a 2, man.
Yeah. Ugh. Only because I know the master is good and it's just shit.
Did you do Hard 8? It seemed like Hard 8.
Yeah.
No, I didn't like Hard 8 at all.
He didn't like the. I say this to everybody who comes out. He didn't like the best scene in the movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I thought I didn't like it, but he was like, what about the best movie? Or he's like, what about the best part? And I was like the Sam Jackson? Or he's like, no, the bit in the middle. I was like, what? The Philip Seymour Hoffman scene? I was like, it was like it seemed like it could have been anyone.
It couldn't have been anyone. We've been over this. Yeah, it's just him being this magnetic superstar announcing himself.
Anyone could have just been like, "Hey, old timer," or whatever.
Nobody can do it like him. Like,
I warmed to him, and because at the start I was. I said I have a bee in my bonnet with all the Philip Seymour Hoffman ass kissing that's been going on, but now I see it because I hadn't actually seen half of his movie. And as the movies went on, like I did, like even when Joe was here, I was saying like I thought he was great in The Master, and I thought Joaquin Phoenix was great, but just movie wise, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah,
but I think he's great. I can't remember what the original point was, but I think
7.5.
Yeah, 7.5.
That's how we got there.
Pete, what about you? What did you give it?
Oh, 10.
10.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna give this.
Go on.
I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Oh.
Scathing. What was wrong with it?
Nothing. It's just, it's
where is this, like, sixth or seventh in your
third
PTA?
Joint third with Magnolia.
What's
top is There Will Be Blood. I think There Will Be Blood is, like, top 3 movie of all time for
me.
Up there with Goodfellas and Die Hard. And then what jumped up hugely this time around, because I cried many times watching it, was Punch Drunk Love. That one, I was just like, all the feels, that fucking score and the whole he needs me interlude, and I was like, oof.
Nice 90 minute as well.
Yeah.
You don't get them a lot in PTA movies.
Is that 90 minutes? Yeah, I've seen that once as well.
That's one.
I will go back.
Yeah.
Do you know, I seen it when it came out, and I actually liked it more the first time than I did this time around, weirdly.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, isn't it weird?
No. Pete, do you have anything you want to plug?
Oh, my... tour, great lad, in Vicar Street, 15th of September.
We're going on tour.
you're supporting me now.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing dates around various counties in the week and the week preceding that. Or is preceding coming after?
Proceedings before.
Oh, damn it!
So cut that from the act.
Oh, yeah.
Cut that bit.
The preceding show. But yeah, no, so dates of the tour.
Exciting. Nice. Very exciting.
Yeah, I
can't wait.
Yeah. And then, of course, my fashion show where I debut all my dresses that I made with your name sewn into the hem.
Don't you have a book as well?
Yeah, I was going to say, is this book...
It's not real.
No. It's a prop.
It is a prop.
Like, I genuinely thought, like, oh, it's kind of like a blind boy room.
To do... that book for reals.
Yeah.
But no, it's not a book.
Not Random yet, House, not if you're listening. Anyway.
And it would be Random House, my sense of humor.
All right, Terry, and plug.
Well, why don't you tell the good folks where they can find us?
At Instagram, What's So Great About Pod, and on Twitter at WSGApod. We don't tweet there. We get no engagement.
I'm still on X.
I am too.
I'm like the guy in the Titanic. I'm going to be playing as it goes down because I just,
Don't join Blue Sky or one of those, though. Just once it goes, you can just be like, free.
Free.
I'm free.
Yeah.
So where's the next pit of despair?
Yeah. I did not join Threads. No. I just, enough going on. But you can find us over behind the paywall on the old Patreon as well. £5 gets you access to all our back catalogues of What's So Great About. Mini-series, we've got What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About 90s Action Movies, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, and What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, a.k.a. Big Will's Bad Movies, and then there's a bunch of other top five episodes. We've got some pitch meeting episodes. Lots of good, fun stuff behind the paywall.
The best stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The best
stuff. Really, yeah. You get us off,
off the leash.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And also give us a rating, review, all that good stuff. 5 stars. Keep us in the charts and keep you guys in our hearts. You can also get me over on X. I'm going to start referring to it as X now. At The Boy Toner. I'm normally plugging my show on 8radio.com. You get me on Instagram as well at TerryT22, I think.
It's TerryToner22.
There you go. Yeah.
Thanks. And you'll find me on at Andy Cantwell or on TikTok. I'm Andy Cantwell too because I've been banned. And
he lost all his followers.
Who needs me and my 150,000 followers? We'll find somewhere else to go. Yeah, you'll find me there. So get me back. Get me back up.
What are you up to now on the new one?
Like 700 or something.
Oh.
It's so. And
you know what? News is today's fish wrapping paper.
I've started to just like put them back up on the new account, like the videos that I had, and like someone
the copyright ones.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's keep doing
it again.
Is that what got you barred?
Yeah,
it's because I was showing the clips of the matches.
Scum
with me. Yeah, I know, right?
Poor Rupert Murdoch.
He needs
taking money out of his mouth.
But anyway, yeah, find me there.
Okay. Pete, thanks so much
thanks,
for coming
lads.
On. Yeah, it's an absolute blast. Next week, we are finishing up our mini series with Licorice Pizza. Andy looks like he's.
I can't fucking wait to finish this series, to be honest. And I've liked half of them, but I've had enough now.
Okay.
All right.
Extremes are too extreme.
Yeah. It's too extreme. All right. Well, on that note, see you next week.
Yeah.
Boom.
Thank you.